Sefer Tehillim. This is shir number 70. We are using the Bi'am Loes as our commentary. We are holding in chapter 127, Pasuk 1, may the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our over 1,000 Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of the Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinder Manila of blessed memory. Again, chapter 127, pasuk 1. Shir Amalos Lishlomo Im Hashem Lo Yivne Bayushov Amlu Vonavbo Im Hashem Lo Yishmor Ir Shov Shokad Shomer. A song of accents of Solomon. If Hashem will not build a house, the builders labor at it in vain. If Hashem will not guard the city, the watchman was vigilant in vain. David HaMelech composed this psalm about his son Shlomo, about the holy Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo would build, and about the royal dynasty of the house of David that would last for all generations. He begins by declaring that all these things are dependent on Hashem's help rather than on human endeavor. Notwithstanding that Hashem appointed Shlomo to build the Beis HaMikdash, if Hashem will not build the house, the builders will labor at it in vain. But this does not depend solely on human enterprise. What is more, after the Beis HaMikdash will have been built, if Hashem will not guard the city, the watchman was vigilant in vain. Placing guards around the city and the Beis HaMikdash will be of no avail without Hashem's help. David composed the present psalm after Nathan the prophet informed him that not he but his son would build the Beis HaMikdash, as found in Shmuel Beis. He begins by declaring that everything is in the hand of Hashem. Contrary to what men think, it does not depend on human enterprise. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash that David had begun to build, and towards which he prepared gold, silver, and brass, a pasuk that is found in Divrei HaYamim. The Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo would build will not be in vain, for Hashem desired it. Hashem would also watch over Yerushalayim, since he commanded that Shlomo set his throne there. The psalm also alludes to Absalom and his allies, and it alludes to Adoniyahu, who wanted to wrest the kingship from David but failed. The singer stresses that Hashem handed the throne to his beloved, to Shlomo, effortlessly and in tranquility, as to a man's sleep. Shlomo received help from heaven in building the Beis HaMikdash. Thus our sages expound upon the pasuk and the house when it was in building, a pasuk that is found in Melachim Aleph. The ministering angels helped in its building. Similarly, it says, I have certainly built you a house to dwell in. Our sages explained that he said, I have built you an already built house, a house built with Hashem's help. The present psalm is continued in the following psalm, where it is explained what kind of human enterprise is successful. The need for divine help likewise pertains, and doubly so, to the rest of humanity, to assure human planning produces the desired results. It pertains as well to marriage and the home one builds. Divine help is required most particularly as regards one's children. Hence the singer concludes here, Lo, children are a heritage of Hashem. Comprehended by the same principle is that no man should question the justice of what Hashem had meted out to him, as it says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, a pasuk found in the Chumash Devarim. His subtle interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. The first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were built with the help of Hashem. But since men helped build them, in the end, they were destroyed. That is what it says. If Hashem will not build the house by himself, without human help, the builders labor at it in vain. The following episode took place when Rabbi Yehuda the prince dispatched Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Asi, and Rabbi Ami to visit all the towns of the land of Israel that were necessary to appoint scribes and Torah teachers. In one place they found neither scribes nor teachers. Bring to us the guardians of the city, they said to the local people. When the guardians arrived, the sages said to them, These are not guardians of the city, these are destroyers of the city. Who then are the guardians of the city? The people asked. its scribes and its teachers. Thus it says, Hashem will not guard the city. The watchman was vigilant in vain. Pasuk 2. Shav lechem mashkim mekum me'achrei sheves ochle lechem huatzavim kein yitein nidido usheino. It is in vain for you who rise up early, who sit up late, who eat the bread of sorrows. Yes, he gives to his beloved one sleep. Having explained that the building of the Beis Hamikdash is dependent on Hashem's help, the singer now speaks about the house of royalty that Shlomo would establish in the future. As it says, and it came to pass when Shlomo had completed building the house of Hashem and the king's house, this too is dependent on Hashem's help. David says to all those like Absalom and Adoniyahu who tried to wrest the kingship from Solomon's grasp, it is in vain for you who rise up early, who sit up late, who eat the bread of sorrows. So fierce is your craving for the kingship that you rise early to make your plans, sit late into the night, fail to eat in time, and your bread is eaten in sorrow and weariness. But all your attempts to deprive him of the crown are in vain, since he gives to his beloved one sleep. Shlomo was called the beloved Hashem, and he was certain to inherit the kingship without toil or exertion. As it were, he would acquire it when asleep. The singer also alludes here to those wrongdoers who toil at earning their livelihood. It is in vain for you, artisans, who rise up early, who sit up late, plying your trades, who sustain yourselves with sorrow and toil, eating the bread of exertion and pain, for he gives to his beloved ones sleep. You rise up early in the morning ahead of all others, lest they take away your grain. If that is not enough, you also sit up late at night time, later than the others, and when you eat unadorned bread sorrowfully, nor do you sleep at night. It is, however, to his beloved ones, to those who deny themselves sleep in order to study Torah, that he gives sleep. The money of those who toil at their trades he gives to the righteous man who sleeps normally in his bed. Similarly, Shlomo says, for to the man who is pleasing before him, he gave wisdom and knowledge and joy, and to the sinner he gave the task to collect and gather, in order to give to him who is pleasing before Hashem, a pasuk that's found in Koheles. Our sages deduce from here about the excellence of trusting in Hashem. As the Chovas Halvavas shows, one who trusts in Hashem is invested with various excellent qualities. Some people delay doing tshuva because they are involved in making money. They tell themselves that they will repent as soon as they have accumulated sufficient wealth. This is an error and a lie, for the contrary is probably true. The money they have amassed will itself become a reason for avoiding repentance. Thus the singer says here, it is in vain for you who rise up early to amass money and as a result are late returning true repentance. Some explain that David HaMelech spoke here prophetically to Shlomo who built the Beis HaMikdash. Through the Holy Spirit he foresaw that in the future both Beis HaMikdash and both temples would be destroyed. He says, if Hashem will not build the house, if Hashem will not build the third temple, as it says, when Hashem has built up Zion, and it says, I will be to her a wall of fire, Pasuk found in Zechariah, then the builders labor at it in vain, for in the future it will be destroyed. The singer alludes to the toil invested by Nehemiah and Ezra to build the city of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. They built amidst terrible suffering and dire famine, eating the bread of sorrows. He says, it is in vain for you who rise up early, who sit up late, who eat the bread of sorrows, for in the end it will be destroyed. It is otherwise for the third temple which Hashem himself will build. He gives to his beloved one sleep. David will then be able to sleep peacefully. His condition will not be as depicted in the pasuk, if I will give sleep to my eyes, slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for Hashem, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Yaakov. The Talmud relates that on the night of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, would be kept from falling asleep by youngsters of the priestly clan, loudly snapping their fingers. At the same time, they would say to him, "Person of the high priest, stand up barefoot on the floor." They kept him distracted until the hour arrived for the sacred service. They used neither the lyre nor the harp to entertain him, but entertained him by chanting loudly, "If Hashem will not build the house, the builders have labored at it in vain." In other words, they said to him, "Perform the service with care for the sake of heaven, for if it does not find favor, then all your exertions will have been for nothing." Pasuk 3. Hine nachlas Hashem bonim socho pri habatn. Lo, children, sons are heritage of Hashem, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Having explained that the building of the Beis HaMikdash of the house of royalty was dependent on Hashem's help, and so too for earning a livelihood, the singer says that the same thing holds true for one's children. If a man is found worthy of having children, these children are a heritage of Hashem. King David refers to Shlomo, whom Hashem had given to him as a heritage. If a man merits to have children, this fruit of the womb is a reward from Hashem. Why do you toil so much in amassing money? The true happiness lies in the children that a man merits to have in the days of his youthfulness as a heritage of Hashem. Those sons are a heritage of Hashem. When a man merits to have children, that is a heritage bestowed upon him by Hashem. It holds true not only for sons, but also for other fruit of the womb. Daughters are also a reward from Hashem. If a man has sufficient merit, Hashem will grant him an enduring heritage, great sons. They will establish a heritage for generations, provided they raise their sons to Torah study and to serve Hashem. In the Mechilta it says, it is a measure of men and flesh and blood that a worker builds a house together with the owner. They plow together, they weed out the field together, they hoe together. Then the owner pays him money and he departs. Not so the one who created the world by divine utterance. If a man craves sons, he grants him sons. As it says, "Lo, sons are a heritage of Hashem." A man craves wisdom, so he grants him wisdom. As it says, "For Hashem gives wisdom from his mouth," a pasuk that's found in Sefer Mishlei. A man craves possessions, and he grants him possessions. As it says, "Both riches and honor are come from you." Pasuk that's found in Divrei Hayamim. Chapter 127, Pasuk 4. Kechitzim beyad gibor kein b'nei han'urim, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. The singer says that children, sons, are to a father like arrows in the hand of a warrior. This is so especially for the sons of one's youth, for they possess greater strength. Children are compared to arrows in the hand of a warrior for a number of reasons. For one, just as a warrior does not scatter his arrows to no purpose but aims for the target, so one should not waste one's seed. Let a man direct the seed towards the desired target and proper purpose, for which is to establish seed which Hashem has blessed, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Secondly, just as arrows without a warrior are of no value, there is no purpose to have children of one's youth unless they are helped by God. Some say that Pasuk speaks of teachers and their students. Just as arrows are the warrior's implements of war, so are students implements of war for the teacher. They constantly analyze his words and challenge him, raise doubts and elicit new insights. Thereby they contribute to their master's victory in disputes with his enemies at the gate. This refers to disputes among Torah scholars and Torah law. The contending scholars begin as enemies, but they end up loving one another. Thirdly, just as the warrior cannot retract the arrow after having released it, a man cannot bring back the days of his youth. If in his youth he did not toil to become accomplished in Torah learning, he cannot rectify the situation in his old age. All his days he will feel the lack. Our sages have also referred the present pasuk to study itself. The Torah one utters should be intellectually sharp like an arrow. Pasuk 5. Ashwe hagever ashemile es ashpaso mehem lo yevoshu ki yedabru es oivim bashor. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They will not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the gate. Therefore, happy is the man who has his quiver full of such arrows. They will not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the gate. One has many sons. They will not be humiliated by defeat when facing the enemy at the gate of the city. Due to their superior numbers, they will stand firm and achieve victory. Some interpreted the term Idabu as they will exterminate. Similarly, the Torah says, and she destroyed all the royal seed of the house of Yehuda, a pasuk that is found in Divrei HaYamim. The present psalm is also interpreted as referring to the Messianic king. At that time, all the nations fighting against one another for Yerushalayim will not be able to possess the holy city, for in the end, he gives to his beloved one sleep. Hashem will give you Yerushalayim to the King Mashiach without any exertion on his part. Rabbi Yossi began his discourse as follows. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. The Torah refers to procreation. When Rabbi Yochanan reached old age, when the vision of his eyes weakened and he became frail, he stood up and declared, "What am I in this world?" For he had begotten sons, and they all died. They said to him, "Our master, we who drink from your waters as your students, we are your children." But his spirit was not calm. But when Hashem enlightened the eyes of a certain elder scholar who said, "It's about you, Rabbi Yochanan, now old and weak, and about Rabbi Chizkiyahu, who was childish," that the Torah says, "For thus says Hashem to the Enochs who keep my Shabbases and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. And to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off," a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Then was Rabbi Yochanan's mind calmed, and he said, "May your mind be calmed as you have calmed my mind." Having likened the children of one's youth to arrows, the singer likens the righteous man to a quiver that contains the arrows. Chapter 128, pasuk 1. Shir Hamalois Ashrei Kol Yorei Hashem HaHolech Bedrochov. A song of incense. Happy is everyone who fears Hashem, who walks in His ways. In the present psalm, David talks about the excellence of God-fearing man who is sustained by the labor of his hands. Happy is the man who not only fears Hashem and does not commit transgression, but who walks in His ways and keeps the positive commandments. He walks in the ways of Hashem by emulating good traits and loving others. As our sages have taught, as He favors with grace, so much you favor with grace. For as the Torah says in Chumash Shemos, Hashem is merciful to His creatures, favors them with His grace, bestows well-being upon them, is forbearing in His anger, and sets aside His stern attributes. The man who strives for spiritual completeness desires not only to avoid punishment, but to perform deeds that provide nourishment and delight for the world of souls. Thus it says about the nourishment of perfected human beings, for they will eat the fruit of their doings. A pasuk found in Yeshayahu, that man is superior to the man who acts solely to escape punishment. A subtle interpretation says, happy is one who walks in his ways. He examines and sifts through his ways to see whether they are upright, and if there is need of improvement, he improves. For at all times he walks in the ways of Hashem and in awe of Him, constantly fearful that perhaps he has not fully done his duty. Maybe he had not performed some mitzvah with the proper degree of attentiveness, or failed to perform it in full accordance with halacha. Happy is everyone who fears Hashem, who walks in His ways. He is not content that he fears Hashem, but actually walks in the ways of Hashem. God attends to all His creatures, and this man likewise exerts himself to care for the needs of others and to teach them. Medrash says the Torah does not say, happy is Israel, or happy are the Kohanim, the priests, or happy are the Levim. It says, happy is everyone who fears Hashem. This includes converts who are God-fearing and also saintly converts. It says, happy is everyone who fears Hashem, which includes not only men, but also women. Another interpretation says, even when that person walks in his ways and attends to matters of this world, he performs all of his deeds for the sake of heaven. even if that person has not yet attained self-perfection, but still continues to walk in his ways, in order to achieve completeness, he is happy. Pasuk 2. Yigia kapecho kisochel ashrecho v'tovloch. When you eat the labor of your hands, happy are you, and it is well with you. Having said that the God-fearing man is happy, the singer now explains the source of that happiness. When you eat the labor of your hands, happy are you, and it is well with you. Everything that you acquire through the labor of your hands, you will eat. It will not be eaten by others. This contrasts with what it says in the admonition, in the curses. The fruit of your land and all your labors will be eaten up by a nation that you do not know. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim, Parshas Kisavo. This promise includes all the other benefits in that he will not labor in vain, nor bring forth for confusion. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The Torah says, happy are you in this world, and it is well with you in the world to come. That is how the Targum renders the pasuk. If you walk in Hashem's way, happy are you, and it is well with you. The happiness and well-being are yours rather than his. But there's no advantage to Hashem in this. Indeed, if you are righteous, what are you giving to him? A subtle interpretation is based on the teaching of our sages that if a Torah scholar constantly eats in many places, in the end, he destroys his home, leaves his wife a widow, and so on. That is what the Torah says here. When you eat the labor of your hands, and you do not dine with undue frequency in every place, then happy are you, and it is well with you. Everyone will be happy with you, praise you, and minister to you. When a person enjoys the labor of his own hands, he is happy in this world, for he is not afraid of being punished for the sins of his generation. Since he does not depend on others, he admonishes them and does not unjustly favor them. What is more, it is well with him in the world to come, where he will receive his reward. You eat the labor of your hands. This man is content with what he acquires by the labor of his hands. He does not seek luxuries that cause a man to steal and to rob. It is common knowledge that one who steals and robs has no peace of mind, since he is in constant fear of being caught. Said Babchir in the name of Ulam, great is one who enjoys the labor of his hands than one who fears Hashem. For it says about fear of Hashem, happy is everyone who fears Hashem. But about one who enjoys the labor of his hands, it says that he is happy and that it is well with him. He's happy in this world and it is well with him in the world to come. The Torah means to say that this man enjoys the labor of his hands. That is, he's content what he has and does not seek luxuries. Hence it says about him that he is happy in this world and it is well with him in the world to come. Being himself complete, his eyes see all of creation as complete, as lacking nothing. Consequently, he deserves both this world and the world to come. Ben Zomer says, who is rich? One who is happy with his lot. As it says, when you eat the labor of your hands, happy are you in this world, and it is well with you in the world to come. That is to say, one who has a treasure in a strong box is not called rich in his person, for the treasure is not a part of the person as such. It is otherwise when one is happy with his lot, for he is then rich in himself. In support of this, consider that it says here, happy are you, ashrecha, which connotes endurance. A similar usage of this term appears in none of his steps falter. This man endures. Marzutra expounded in the name of Rav Chaninim, anyone who reads in the written law, studies the oral law on his own, determines what is unfit, and has ministered to Torah scholars, of that man the Torah says, when you eat the labor of your hands, happy are you, and it is well with you. Rav Zavit says that this man merits to inherit two worlds. The meaning of this passage is as follows. That man does not rely on the sage to instruct him in the law about everything. He himself has studied and knows clearly to decide halachic questions. In that case, when you eat the labor of your hands, happy are you, and it is well with you, for you will not have to give a portion of your reward to the sage who studied and devotes himself to ruling in halacha. Pasuk 3. Eshtocha ki gefen poriyo beyarkasei beisecho benecho kishisile zesim savi l'shulchanecho. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house, your children like olive shoots round about your table. The God-fearing man will also know well-being in two other ways, his wife and his children. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. A good, modest wife is likened to a vine. The vine lies on the ground and gives forth grapes for making wine that extends to the tables of kings, bringing joy to Hashem and men. Then again, the vine, when dried, is used for kindling a fire, whose glow provides warmth. The same is true of a good woman. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. She will not be barren. She will be in the innermost parts of your house. Her modesty will keep her occupied at home. As it says, the full glory of a king's daughter is within. It's a pasuk that's found earlier in Sefer Tehillim. She will not sit in the doorway, but in the innermost parts of your house. Your children round about your table will be superior in excellence, like olive shoots, from which oil is drawn. What is more, just as the leaves of the olive tree do not wilt all year round, so will your children live and endure round about your table. You will have enough to feed them well, and so they will not be dependent upon the tables of others. Your wife like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. A vine may be planted inside, but later its branches extend beyond the window. Similarly, your wife will keep modestly at home, yet her virtues will be recognized outside. This blessing only comes if your wife will be in the innermost parts of your house. She conducts herself in modesty, then your children will be like olive shoots round about your table. They will not venture outside to be exposed to alien influences, but receive knowledge and understanding from your mouth. Thus our sages have expounded, just as olive trees are not hybrids, so your children will contain no dross within them. In Eshtacha, the segel vow conveys that your wife will be a woman of special quality, a segula on account of her good deeds. The three dots of this vow also hint at the three partners in each person, his two parents and God. She will be like a fruitful vine. She will not lose her embryos. Thus our sages teach, if one sees a vine in a dream, his wife will not miscarry. Our sages teach, when one marries an upright woman, it is as if he had fulfilled the entire Torah from beginning to end. What is more, the Torah says of him, your wife is like a fruitful vine. For this reason, the psukim of the Ashes Chayil, the woman of valor, in Mishlei 31, are alphabetically arranged, beginning with the first letter Aleph and ending with the last letter Tav. Pasuk 4. Hinei ki chein yevorach gover yirei Hashem. Behold, for so is blessed the man who fears Hashem. For so is a consequence of the way of conduct that I have indicated, is blessed the man who fears Hashem. He will receive the blessings mentioned, namely that your wife will be like a fruitful vine inside your house, and your children like olive shoots round about your table. Another interpretation says, should we want to bless a person with all the highest things, we bless him solely with this one thing. He should be God-fearing, for then he will, in any case, merit every blessing. A subtle interpretation says, if your children are like olive shoots round about your table, and you do not have to move to another table in your old age, behold, so is blessed the man who fears Hashem. If a father has to depend on the table of his children, his life is not living. As the saying goes, one father can support 10 children, but 10 children cannot support one father. If children, when they are little, are round about their father's table, he can educate them in his way. It is otherwise if the father and the children are both vagrants who must seek their bread. Then the father has no influence on the children. That is what the singer says, if your children are like olive shoots round about your table, then behold, for so is blessed the man who fears Hashem. Another subtle interpretation says, if you possess a craft to earn your livelihood, when you eat the labor of your hands, you will have no problem finding a wife. Your wife will not need to work, and hence your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house, your children like olive shoots round about your table. You will have none of those things, and if you do not possess a craft for earning a livelihood. According to the Medrash, that is what the Torah says. The full glory of a king's daughter is within. Said Rabbi Yossi, when a woman modestly keeps herself inside the house, she is worthy of marrying a high priest and will give rise to a high priest. As it says, the full glory of a king's daughter is within. If she guards her dignity by keeping to her home, then she provides atonement for her home, like the altar that atones for sins. Thus it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. And Yerochasi connotes nothing other than an altar, as it says in Chumash Vayikra, and you shall slaughter it on the side Yorach of the altar. This means that she is more important than the high priest. The high priest performs the sacred service. He does not provide atonement. The altar atones, but a wife personally atones. The singer speaks of three things in sequence: earning a livelihood, having a wife, children. This may be understood in accordance with the following teaching of the Zohar. Rabbi Yochanan began his discourse by citing the pasuk, "Through wisdom a house is built," a pasuk found in Mishlei. There are three things a man must do to take care of his human needs. He should build himself a house where to dwell, plant a vineyard and earn a livelihood. Then he should take a wife and have children. As Rav Shimon said, anyone who takes a wife and does not first acquire the means to earn a livelihood, that man is exempt from keeping any of the mitzvahs like a dead man. We can learn this from God himself. He built a house, created the world, arranged everything required for life, including sufficient food, all this prior to bringing man into the world. Hence it says, happy is everyone who fears Hashem, who walks in his ways, in the ways of God. You too are to first eat the labor of your hands, and only then your wife will be like a fruitful vine. These matters may also be explained by means of the following parable. A Gentile king married a woman with whom he lived for 10 years, but she failed to bear him a child. Eventually, however, she did bear a son, and the king rejoiced. When the son grew older and passed his 13th birthday, he was stricken by a terrible life-threatening illness. All the very greatest doctors were unable to find a healing medication to save the prince. Many days passed, and the news spread that a great physician was about to arrive. As soon as he came, the king invited him to the palace to cure his son. The physician entered the patient's chamber and diagnosed the illness at once. He then promised the king to cure his son, but on the condition that he be permitted to seclude himself with the patient without anyone else present. The king ordered everyone out. However, the mother of the patient stayed. Turning to her, the physician said, This sick son of yours is not from the king, for the king is incapable of having children. He is from another man. Tell me the truth. Who made you pregnant? The mother admitted to the truth and revealed that she was made pregnant by one of the king's horse trainers. The physician then came to the king and said, I know what will cure your son. He needs special grasses that sprout in the wilderness. Send for the servant in charge of the horses that come with me into the wilderness to gather these grasses. The king sent for the horse trainer, and together they left the city. The physician said to his companion, I recognize the illness of the king's son, who in fact is not the king's son, but your son. Tell me who your parents were and how you were raised. I will then know the appropriate foods for the lad, for his conception and makeup were in accordance with the foods that you had eaten, not in accordance with what he has become accustomed to eat in the palace. My mother and father were land farmers, came the trainer's reply. Their work was plowing and sowing, and their food consisted of milk mixed with brown wheat, known as tarana and bulgur. We were never accustomed to eat chicken, meat, or fish. Straight from the farm, I entered the king's service as keeper of the horse stable. Once when the king was absent, his wife approached me, and that son is from me. The physician returned to the king, informed him that the foods his son was eating were harmful, and prescribed a stable that included tarana and bulgur. The king followed his instructions, and the lad recovered. This tale can teach us that only when your wife modestly keeps to the innermost parts of your house will your children be like olive shoots that reject grafting. In the present psalm, the singer comes in praise of the God-fearing man who knows to conduct himself in accordance with the laws of the Torah. He knows when to exercise restraint and when extravagance is justified. Thus he says, "When you eat the labor of your hands, happy are you, and it is well with you. If you stay content with the little in your possession and do not seek luxuries, you will be happy. But as regards children, increasing their number increases one's happiness. Thus he says, if your children will be like olive shoots round about your house, then behold, for so is blessed the man who fears Hashem. Just as an olive is harsh tasting in the beginning, but sweet in the end as oil, so it is with children. Their upbringing is difficult and full of pain, but eventually one derives pleasure from them. All this comes about through a wife who is like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house." As we learned in the earlier pasuk, it is otherwise for a woman who is noisy and ungovernable. Her feet do not remain in her house. A pasuk that's found in Mishle. She is more bitter than death. A pasuk that's found in Kehelas. Pasuk 5. Yerecha Hashem mitzion urei b'tuv yishalom kol yomecha yechav. Hashem bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Yishalom all the days of your life. In addition to your happiness, besides all the blessings mentioned earlier, Hashem bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Yishalom all the days of your life. May you merit to behold the beauty of Hashem and to visit early in His temple. The singer's blessings correspond to three good things that have been bestowed upon the Jewish people. Corresponding to the gift of the Holy Land, he says, Hashem bless you out of Zion. Corresponding to the gift of godliness, he says, may you see the good of Yishalayim, which means cleaving to Hashem. As it says, I will make all my goodness pass before you, a pasuk that is found in Chumash Shemos. Finally, corresponding to the gift of children, he says, and see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May there be peace among men and peace from war. The vav phononic of the word tuv signifies the hidden good, namely the good of the world to come. Some say you will merit the blessing to see children's children resembling your children who are like olive shoots. What is more, Hashem will bless you to see that peace be upon Israel. In Ashkenaz there lived a rabbi known for his piety, whose blessings all came true. As a result, the people of his city would exhaust him with their petitions. But no sooner did one leave than another arrived to ask for a blessing. Let us move to another city, he said to his disciples, and so avoid all this bother. When towards evening they prepared to depart, they saw a bride walking to the wedding canopy. The saintly rabbi halted in honor of the bride. When the wise bride caught sight of him, she approached and asked for a blessing, that she bear 12 sons corresponding to the 12 tribes. The saintly man blessed her. She then asked that he bless her with a good livelihood, and the saintly man also gave her this blessing. Then the bride turned back and entered under the wedding canopy. Her bridegroom saw that she was happy. She told him that not only had she brought him a blessing for sons, but also a blessing for wealth and honor. The blessings of the saintly man were all fulfilled. According to this story, we can well understand the present psukim. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Indeed, even as vines lengthen and spread out, so will your children be like olive shoots round about your table. Behold, for so is blessed the man who fears Hashem. What is more, Hashem will bless you out of Zion, and you will see the good of Yishalayim all the days of your life. And you will see your children's children, for they will all sup at your table. You will see that peace be upon Israel, as we'll learn in the next pasuk. Our sages expound, because you will see your children's children, there will be peace upon Israel. The need for levirate marriages and for the ceremony of chalitza will not arise. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, because there will be children's children, there will be peace upon the judges of Israel. There will be no quarrels for the judges to adjudicate. The words, Hinei kichein yivorach gover, hint at the obligation upon every person to recite 100 brachas each day. Thus the numerical equivalent of the gematria of the word kichein is 100. This matter of 100 brachas is related to the 10 spheros, each comprising 10 others. Those are the 100 gates found by Yitzchak, that is the springs and the gates around about the gates of justice, from where blessing and abundance issue upon the world. It is a duty to recite these 100 blessings, for today they are in place of the sacrifices once offered in the holy Beis HaMikdash, the holy temple. In the Yalkut it says, a man is under obligation to recite 100 brachas every day. Hashem asked it of the Israelites in two psukim, one corresponding to we shall do, and the other corresponding to we shall hear. Those verses are V'nistlasi Rucha Makablin Din Min Din, the sequence of verses recited on Shabbos days and holidays, as well as during the weekday prayer. There's also a hint here of what is written in the Zohar. If the mitzvah of performing a proper marriage service, including chuppah, kedushin, and the seven benedictions, is not adhered to, then in place of sanctification there is defilement, and in place of blessing there is a curse. This causes the divine presence to depart from Yerushalayim, as it says in Pasuk in Yeshayahu, for your transgressions was your mother sent away. That is what the singer says here. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house, your children like olive shoots round about your table. When one has an unblemished wife and unblemished children, then behold, for so shall bless a man seven benedictions. Thus our sages expound, do not read is blessed Yevorach, but shall bless Yevorech. That is when a man is blessed, and that then Hashem will bless you out of Zion, and you will see the good of Yerushalayim, for the divine presence will dwell there. As our sages have expounded, when she saw that he was good, she saw that the Shekhinah was with him. In the words, you who fear Hashem, Hashem bless you out of Zion, there is an allusion to the following teaching of the Medrash. Said Rav Bachayim, about whom did the Torah say, but the stranger did not lodge in the street? A pasuk that is found in Iyov. This pertains to the converts who will serve in the holy Beis HaMikdash in the future, and they will eat of the showbread, the lechem upon him. As it says, and the stranger will be joined with them, and they will cleave the nisbuchu to the house of Yaakov. A pasuk that is found in Yeshayahu. The term nisbuchu refers to nothing other than the priesthood. It is known, moreover, that converts are called God-fearing. Thus it says, you who fear Hashem, bless Hashem. And Rashi explains that these are the converts. That is what the Torah says here. You who fear Hashem, Hashem bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Yerushalayim. They will see the showbread. Simply says, you will eat of the good of the land. The pasuk is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Pasuk 6. Re'evanim levanecha shalom al Yisrael, and see your children, peace be upon Israel. This conclusion of the present psalm may be understood by means of analogy. A man was wandering in the desert, hungry, thirsty, and exhausted. He found a tree and ate of its fruit. Tree, he said, how shall I bless you? Behold, your fruits are good and your shade is pleasant. So let it be the will of Hashem that all plantings taken from you shall be like you. Here likewise, after the singer has depicted all the excellent qualities of the God-fearing man, he says finally, may the God-fearing man be blessed with other things. What are they? Hashem bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Yerushalayim all the days of your life, and see children's children. May you derive satisfaction from all the Jewish people, and may they dwell in peace. Chapter 129, Pasuk 1. Shir ha-malos rabas zoruni min urai yom ano Yisrael. A song of accents, much have they distressed me since my youth, let Israel say now. David composed the present psalm for the exiles to be recited by them after they will have been totally redeemed. Much have they distressed me since my youth, let Israel say now. The nations have distressed me since my youth by many forms of affliction. The plowers plowed upon my back, and they made long their furrows. In the end, however, they have not prevailed against me. Hashem is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked, and I am redeemed. The Jewish people will declare that they did not lose hope during their long exile. They said, the one who performed miracles for those who came first will also perform miracles for those who come last. The singer begins by speaking of the miracles that were performed for the patriarchs, declaring, much have they distressed me since my youth. This refers to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each of whom endured great suffering in his lifetime. He concludes by declaring, let Israel say now. In other words, what happened to the fathers, the patriarchs, is an omen for the children. Pasuk 2. Rabbah sararuni min uroi gam lo yochluli. Much have they distressed me since my youth, but they have not prevailed against me. The congregation of Israel speaks. She likens her exile to a siege that lasted 2,000 years. Let Israel say now, much have they distressed me since my youth. Nevertheless, even though they distressed me since my youth, they have not prevailed against me. The days of her youth she spent in the Egyptian exile, as it says the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, I remember in your favor the devotion of your youth. There the Israelites were distressed by harsh labor. The reason they distressed me is that I was likened to a youth, as it says in Hosea, when Israel was a youth, then I loved them. Indeed, because Hashem loved me, they have not prevailed against me. Pasuk 3. Algabi Horshu Horshim Harichu Lemanosam. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The singer goes on to depict how terrible were the afflictions suffered by the Jewish people in the course of their exile. He speaks of himself figuratively as having been laid out on the ground, and the plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. Here, here the written form is manusam, their torture, but the term is vocalized as manisam, their furrows. The plower uses an iron plow to make furrows in the ground. In another sense, the Jews were the oxen used for plowing. When plowing with oxen, a single long furrow is plowed in a straight line. Only when the plower reaches the end of the line or furrow are the oxen permitted to rest and renew their strength. They are not switched for other oxen in the middle of the furrow. Hence, the longer the furrow, the more weary are the oxen. Thus it says, they made long their furrows. Pasuk 4. We're holding in chapter 129, Pasuk 4. Hashem tzadik kites avos rishon. Hashem is righteous, he has cut the cords of the wicked. Having described the afflictions he suffered, that they plowed upon his back, the singer says further, however, the Lord who is righteous has cut the cords of the wicked. This refers to the cords that fasten the yoke to the neck of the ox. When the cords are cut, the oxen cannot continue to plow. The congregation of Israel says that she could not have saved herself by her own strength, for she was like a flat land that the plowers continue to plow unceasingly. There was no mountains or heights to make them stop. God alone cut the cords of the wicked, making it impossible for the oxen to keep pulling the plows. The Medrash says, compared to a farmer who owned an ox that he used for plowing, he loaned the ox to another and it simply squatted. All the oxen entered, but this ox did not enter, whereupon the man jumped up and broke the yoke. In every generation there are many troubles, but in the generation of the Mashiach the troubles will be very many. The Jewish people will be unable to bear up under them. Accordingly, the Medrash says, all the oxen entered, but that the ox did not enter. It squatted under its too heavy yoke. If that happens, it is not enough for the owner to be satisfied with an apology. He immediately breaks the yoke and frees the ox. The yoke of exile and affliction will then be broken, notwithstanding that Israel will not possess sufficient merit. Pasuk 5. Yevoshu v'yisogu ochor kol sonei tzion. Let them be ashamed and turn back, all who hate Zion. The singer entreats, let them be ashamed and turn back, all those nations who hate Zion. The singer alludes to the miracles involved in Israel having survived among the nations. For the wicked were unable to unite and totally annihilate Israel. That is what we recite in the Pesach Haggadah. This is what has stood up for our fathers and for us. Not one alone has stood up against us, but in every generation they rise up to finish us, and Hashem saves us from their hand. And even once they had stooped up as one, we would have been doomed. But Hashem did not permit that they should unite for this purpose. That is what the singer says. Hashem is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. they were prevented from uniting and binding themselves together into a thick, double, or triple-corded rope. A subtle interpretation is based on the following teaching of the sages. On one occasion, when the wicked government of Rome issued a decree of annihilation against the Jewish people, a certain Kittiah, son of Shalom, said to them, "At the outset, Israel was likened to the four winds, directions of heaven. As it says, I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, says Hashem, Pasuk Zechariah. Just as the world cannot be without four directions, so it cannot be without Israel. What is more, you, Rome, will be called a destructive kingdom." Thus the Torah says here elusively, "The plow was plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. They explored evil schemes to annihilate Israel. But Hashem is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked to keep them from uniting. Informants slandered Israel to the government in order to destroy the Jewish people. But the imperial government was ashamed and turned back from doing so. They changed their minds about perpetuating this evil, lest he fill the reaper's hand, like all the other nations." Another interpretation says, the Torah says, "He has cut," although past tense, this indicates a plea to Hashem that he, who is righteous and upright, should cut the cords of the wicked. He should lift from us the excessive yoke of the nations. When this will happen, ashamed and turned back, will be all who hate the people of Zion. Pasuk 6. Yu kachatzir gagos shekadmas sholaf yobesh. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops that withers before it springs up. Pasuk 7. Shalomilei chapo kotzer v'chitzno me'amir. That does not fill the reaper's hand nor provide an armful for the gatherer of sheaves. The singer pleads that the wicked be as the grass upon the housetops that withers before it springs up, because the grass is dried up and does not fulfill the reaper's hand. This alludes to the usual way of reapers, who fill their left hand with the top of the grass and cut from the bottom with the right hand. As a result, this grass does not provide an armful for the gatherer of sheaves. The singer deliberately uses the imagery of grass upon the housetops. Although it is located very high, in the end it withers and is devoid of all value. Similarly, the wicked are in vain even when they occupy high positions. Just as the grass upon the rooftops can look down and see how grasses wither, so will the Holy One cause one wicked nation to be demeaned by another. Pasuk 8. The lo amru ha'ovrim birkas Hashem aleichem birachnu eschem b'shem Hashem. Neither do passers-by say, "The blessing of Hashem be upon you, we bless you in the name of Hashem." It was customary for passers-by to greet the reapers, "The blessing of Hashem be upon you, we bless you in the name of Hashem." Thus Boaz said to the reapers, "Hashem be with you." A pasuk is found in Megillas Rus, but here the reapers were not greeted with this blessing, for the planted seeds were not blessed, and there would be nothing to reap. On a certain occasion, Rabbi Hanina, the son of Papa, and Rabbi Shmuel, son of Nachman, passed by a man who was plowing on the sabbatical year. "Be of good strength." Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman greeted him, said Rabbi Hanina bar Papa to him, "Rebbe taught us differently. Neither do passers-by say, 'The blessing of Hashem be upon you. We bless you in the name of Hashem.' It is forbidden to say to those who plow on the sabbatical year, 'Be of good strength.'" Replied Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, "You know to read, but you do not know to expound. Neither do passers-by say, refer to the nations of the world who pass away from the world. They will not say to Israel, 'The blessing of Hashem be upon you.' But what does Israel say to them? 'We bless you in the name of Hashem.' It is not enough for you to receive all the good blessings and consolations which come into the world on our behalf. It is not enough that you do not now say, 'Come, let us set aside for you of these blessings.' No, not only do you not do that, but you even levy an array of taxes upon us. In the end, however, you'll be made to pay, as it says, 'In place of the brass, I will bring gold,' a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu." Chapter 130, pasuk 1. Shir hamalos mimakim k'asich Hashem. A song of accents out of the depths have I called you, O Hashem. King David composed the present psalm about himself, but intended for the future exiles. They should conduct themselves as he did, and then Hashem will have mercy upon them. For Hashem is high, yet he sees the lowly. He concludes the psalm, O Israel, hope in Hashem. During the exile, do not lose your trust in Hashem. The singer likens the exile to watery depths, declaring in the name of the exiles, out of the depths have I called you, O Hashem. This is also David's prayer for Hashem to heed the prayers of the exiles and forgive their iniquities. That is, they should expect the deliverance to come by supernal loving kindness, even though they will not deserve it. He thus begins by declaring a song of incense, out of the depths of exile have I called you, O Hashem. Another interpretation says, out of the depths of my heart have I called you. Some say, out of the depths of the lowliest spiritual state have I called you. For a man may be at the height of material success, yet be in the most debased condition in matters of the soul. Here the singer says, I have called to you out of the depths of physical degradation and out of the depths of spiritual degradation. Although I am in the depths, your supervision extends over all creatures, so heed my plea. The present pasuk may be also explained in accordance with the following teaching of the Midrash. The Jewish people said to Hashem, when will you redeem us? He replied, once you will have fallen to the lowest level, I will immediately redeem you. Hence the singer says here, I am at the lowest point of my descent. It is right that you answer me. Our sages seduce from here that a person should not stand in a raised location while praying the Shemoneh Esrei. Accordingly, in the lands of exile, the cantorial stand would be placed in a spot lower than the rest of the floor. Pasuk 2. Adoni Shimo Vekoli Tiyena Osnecher Kashuvos Dekol Tachanunoi. O Hashem, listen to my voice. May your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleas. The congregation of Israel says, I am so steeped in troubles that I have no time to pray. I can only call to you, O Hashem, in a loud voice, so listen to my voice, even if it is devoid of prayer. Grant me the time to pray to you properly. May your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleas. A sick man was visited by a physician, and the patient asked him to prescribe fat, rich meals for him. The people around him thought he had lost his mind. Not only did he not ask for medication, he asked for something that was injurious to his health. Judging solely by his request, said the physician, I can tell the severity of his illness, why he is not even aware of what he is saying. Similarly, we often pray for things that are of no benefit to us, but Hashem, in his great mercy, is only attentive to the sound of our voice. He does not heed the explicit requests of our lips. He attends to our voice and chooses to grant us what is for our good. Thus the singer says here, out of the depths have I called you, O Hashem. As we learned in the previous pasuk, we have called to you from the lowest ebb of our folly and poverty, and we entreat, listen to my inner voice, may your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleas. Similarly, he says, listen to the voice of my cry, O my King and my God, for to you I pray. David HaMelech would address the Almighty through very many entreaties. This accords with the teaching of our sages. Do not make your prayer a routine, but a plea for compassion, as Moshe said, and I beseeched Hashem, a pasuk found in Chumash Devarim. Therefore may your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleas, because my voice is full of entreaty. For this reason grant my prayer. Listen to my voice, for the voice is my special gift. As it says, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. Therefore may your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas. Listen to my voice, even if the saintly image of my face has changed because of my many iniquities and am unrecognizable, my voice has not changed. Pasuk 3. Imavonos tishmo yo Adonoi miyamo. If you, O Hashem, will keep track of iniquities, O Hashem, who could endure? The singer pleads for his prayer to be accepted. If sin stands in the way of such acceptance, he asks for forgiveness. of his sins. For if you, O Hashem, will keep track of iniquities, O Hashem, who could endure? If God kept an account of one's sins, and there was no forgiveness, no man could prevail. For man is disposed to transgression by his physical nature, and no man can keep from committing transgression. There is none so righteous on earth who does good and never sins. A pasuk found in Kehelis. As Hashem indeed says in the Torah, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the impulse of man's heart is evil from his youth. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. If you, O Hashem, will keep track to remember my iniquities in the past, I will be unable to respond to you and repent. A subtle interpretation is that the congregation of Israel says, if you, O Hashem, will keep track of iniquities and you will not redeem us, O Hashem, who could endure? Who could survive the exile and call in the name of Hashem? Who could stay on his guard for so long? Pasuk Dalet. For with you is forgiveness, so that you may be feared. If you will keep track of iniquities forever and not forgive, the people will think there is no hope of recovery. As a result, they will continue to sin, declaring, "If I perish, I perish," as found in Megillas Esther. If, however, they believe that their prayer is accepted, they will repent and plead for atonement and be afraid to sin again. For with you is forgiveness. You reserve forgiveness as coming solely from yourself. The prerogative to forgive was not given over to any angel, as it says, for he will not pardon your transgressions. You have done this so that you may be feared. You alone should be feared, not any angel. The Medrash says in the name of Rabbi Acha, forgiveness is held in store by you, beginning on Rosh Hashanah. Why? So that you may be feared. Human beings should fear you on the Day of Atonement. Pasuk 5. Kedisi Hashem kivso nashi v'dvor v'acholti. I wait with hope for Hashem. My soul waits, and I have hope in His word. I wait with hope upon hope for Hashem, as it says, wait with hope for Hashem. Be strong and let your heart take courage. And wait with hope for Hashem. And it says, my soul waits for Hashem more than watchmen for the morning. Yes, more than watchmen for the morning. I wait with hope in this world. My soul waits for the world to come, when my glory will be gathered to Him. The present pasuk may be clarified by means of analogy. A poor man approached a rich man for a favor. I've come to ask a kindness from you. My petition does not befit my lowly condition, but in accordance with your eminence and lofty stature. Similarly, the singer says, I wait with a hope for Hashem. My soul waits, and I have hope in His word. I wait for Hashem to answer me, not in accordance with my lowly condition, that I call you out of the depths, but as befits Hashem's lofty words, for He is supremely the high and the lofty one, a pasuk found in Yeshayahu. My soul waits for the good of the soul, contrary to the body that does not wait for the good things of the body. I have hope in His word, and can thus expect to receive His godliness. Pasuk 6. Nafshi la'adono mishomim la'boker, shom la'boker. My soul waits for Hashem more than watchmen for the morning. Yes, more than watchmen for the morning. My hope for waiting is not as one hoping for something doubtful that may or may not be. I am waiting for what is certain to come, even as those watchmen wait for the morning that will certainly arrive. Certain that the morning will come, these watchmen for the morning are inspired to rise early every morning for prayer. My soul waits for Hashem. I belong to those who look forward to the redemption, who keep waiting for the end of one epoch and the beginning of another. Watchmen for the morning, watchmen for the morning. Some say that the pasuk refers to two mornings, the rise of the dawn and the rising of the sun. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Kohanim, the priests, would hasten to slaughter the Talmid offering at the rise of dawn. For at that hour, loving kindness is reinforced, and there is no interference from the attribute of judgment. Thus one may also pray at dawn. My soul waits for Hashem more than watchmen for the morning. Yes, more than watchmen for the morning. The watchmen wait for the morning, not in order to do their work, but because they desire the morning. Similarly, I wait for Hashem for no reason except that I want Hashem. The congregation of Israel relates how she endured the suffering of the present bitter exile by finding solace in the consolations of the prophets. Thus it says, I waited with hope for Hashem, my soul waited, and I hoped in His word. I was able to endure all the troubles, for my soul waited for Hashem more than watchmen for the morning. Yes, more than watchmen for the morning. Our sages teach that the present pasuk pertains to the soul. The watchmen who watch over her at night time hand her over to the watchmen who watch over her in the daytime. Pasuk 7. Yachel Yisrael El Hashem Ki Im Hashem Achesed Tehar Be Imo Fidus. O Israel, hope in Hashem, for with Hashem there is loving kindness, and with Him an abundant redemption. O Israel, hope in Hashem, even if you think that you lack merit. Hope in Hashem, for with Hashem there is loving kindness. Although you think that you are not deserving to have your supplication granted in its own merit, nevertheless, hope in Hashem. For He also acts for the sake of His loving kindness, independently of the recipient's merit. Hope that He will redeem you, since with Him is abundant redemption, to deliver you from all your troubles. He has already delivered you any number of times, and so will not change the pattern of His beneficent acts. Pasuk 8. For who yitzes Yisrael mikol avonosav, and He will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Hashem, who has made it His way to redeem you, will now also redeem Israel from all his iniquities. How will He redeem me when I am full of iniquity? The answer is, and He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. First He will forgive your iniquities, and then He will cause you to return. As it says in the Chumash Tavorim, and Hashem your God will return your captivity and have compassion upon you. Chapter 131, Pasuk 1. Shir hamalos leDavid Hashem, lo gava libi velo rami einai velo yilachti bigdolos v'niflaos mimeni. A song of accents of David. Hashem, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. I do not aspire to walk in great matters and wondrous things beyond me. Having said in the foregoing psalm, out of the depths have I called you, O Hashem, the singer depicts the humility of his soul and his abnegation before Hashem. My heart is not haughty in private, nor my eyes lofty in public towards the people. I do not pride myself in my heart that I can understand secret matters, which are wondrous things beyond my intellect. Rather, I have gone into them little by little and in awe, lest I break through to glimpse what my intellect could not reach and thus impair my mind. Regarding such too high matters, the Torah indeed says, it is to the glory of Hashem to hide a thing, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. A subtle interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Seeing of the eyes and hearing and smelling are not under one's control, but the legs and the hands and the mouth are under one's control. Hence Hashem said to man, if you give to me what is in your possession, I give to you what's in my possession. That is what the singer says here. Hashem, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty to commit transgression. How do I come to exercise this control over the eyes that are not in my possession? For I do not walk, use my legs, which are in my possession, to wander among great matters and wondrous things beyond me. Some people appear humble on the outside, but are haughty in their hearts. Others know their own mean natures, yet show pride for the sake of honor. But David says, Hashem, my heart is not haughty inside, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I publicly aspire to great matters and wondrous things beyond me. I do not aspire to great matters and wondrous things beyond me. I do not ask to be rewarded for the fact that my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, for I truly fear that I lack all merit. Our sages have expounded, my heart was not haughty, when Shmuel anointed me to become a king, as found in Shmuel Aleph. His brothers ridiculed him, yet he did not turn haughty towards them upon being anointed. Nor were my eyes lofty when I killed Goliath, as found in Shmuel Aleph. Although afterwards his fame spread, his eyes were not lofty to think that the victory was his own doing. Similarly, he said earlier to Shaul, Hashem who delivered me out of the paw of the lion. I did not walk in great matters when Hashem relieved me of my tribulations and I ascended to the throne. And I did not walk in great matters and wondrous things beyond me. When I returned the Oren to the city of Zion, indeed, David was then concerned solely with glorifying God, as it says, a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, David leaped about with all his might before Hashem. According to the Zohar, the present pasuk was recited by David while walking along the river bank. He would say at such times, Master of the world, was there ever any other man in the world who thanked and praised his creator as I do? Once a frog happened along, and it said to David, Do not be so proud. I am more worthy than you, for I offered my life for the sanctification of Hashem's name. And it says, And the river will bring forth frogs and swarms. A pasuk is found in Chumash Mos. What is more, I praise and glorify my Creator day and night without pause. At that moment David said, Hashem, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. It is thus significant that David composed the present psalm as Psalm 131. It begins, Hashem, my heart is not haughty. And the numerical value of the word another humility is 131. So we're holding in chapter 131, Pasuk 2. Im lo shivisi v'domamti nafshi kegomul alei imo kegomul olai nafshi. For surely I have set quiet my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is with me like a weaned child. For surely, if not expressed at all, for surely I have set quiet my soul. I regard everything with equanimity equal. My spirit is like a weaned child with its mother, a child just weaned from its mother. The infant is just beginning to move about a bit. It cannot as yet support itself, but must rely on the mother to guide it slowly. Similarly, my soul is with me like a weaned child. I do not rely on myself. David says, although I was a great king, I did not venture at once into the realm of inner knowledge. I conducted myself like a weaned child with its mother. After the child is weaned from its mother's milk, she must take care to provide it with proper nourishment, sufficiently refined, and to serve it little by little, as found in Yeshayahu. David HaMelech says, If I had not become so, that my soul is with me like a weaned child, my soul would have lacked perfection. When one sees a beautiful infant in face and form, one knows that it is not due to the infant's own powers. It is the result of a mother's compassionate handling and feeding. Similarly, when I merited to possess all my fine qualities, I saw myself only like a weaned child with its mother, just as an infant, after it is weaned, enjoys the benefits of its mother's power, so the attainment of my soul is due to my parents and teachers, my companions and guides, who raised me and instructed me for excellence. There's another reason that David compares himself to a weaned child with its mother. When an infant is weaned away from its mother's milk, it weeps and shrieks for a number of days. But then it notices that in place of the milk, the mother serves other kind of nourishment and abundance, and that she attends to all its needs. Thus the child is calmed. The same is true for the man who trusts in Hashem. If he sees that the source of his livelihood has come to an end, he does not worry overmuch. I have set quiet my soul, for he is aware and knows that Hashem will arrange for an even better livelihood from another source. Jehovah's Avavus writes that a nursing infant begins by placing its trust in the mother's breast, as it says, You made me trust upon my mother's breast. Then as it grows a bit, it turns some of that trust to the mother herself, for it becomes aware of her lavish attentiveness.
As David says here, "For surely I have set quiet my soul like a weaned child with its mother." David observed that the infant knows that not the breast but the mother provides the milk. Analogously, he recognized that not he but Hashem brought him great achievement. Hence his heart was not haughty nor his eyes lofty, as we learned in two previous psukim. Because he conducted himself with humility, David accepted everything that came upon him without complaint. An infant is washed and fed by his mother, and she attends to his general well-being, notwithstanding that the infant cries and shrieks. David did not cry and shriek at what befell him, for he knew that Hashem was providing for him. Some interpret, "My soul would be silenced if not for trust in Hashem." Similarly, we find, "Rest silently in Hashem and bear patiently in Him." Pasuk is found earlier in Sefer Tehillim. Rashi relates Golem Gegumel, an uncompleted mass. The singer says, "I lie before you like someone without hands and feet." Pasuk 3. Yachael Yisrael El Hashem Me'ata V'Adolam. O Israel, hope in Hashem from this time forth and forever. King David tells the Jewish people, if you will conduct yourselves by that same measure of humility, you can trust in Hashem for your deliverance, for everything comes from Him. O Israel, hope in Hashem from this time forth and forever. A subtle interpretation is based on the following teaching of the Medrash. To what can this be compared? Compared to a king who married a noble woman and appointed two attendants for her. Similarly, Hashem consecrated Israel in marriage with loving kindness and mercy. This is explained in accordance with the ruling of the Rambam, that if a man hands two coins to a woman and says, "You are consecrated to me in marriage today with one of these coins, and with the other coin you are consecrated to me after I will have divorced you," she stays married to him until he divorces her a second time from the marriage affected by the second coin. Similarly, Hashem consecrated the congregation of Israel with loving kindness and compassion. Even if he should drive them out in the time of anger, the marriage will again be enforced through the second coin. Thus it says, "For Hashem will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." And it says, "And that which comes into your spirit shall never come about, that you say, the house of Yehuda is like all the nations." And a pasuk is found in Yecheskel. It also says in Yeshayahu, "Thus says Hashem, where is your mother's bill of divorce? The congregation of Israel was not divorced except for a single day, and then she was consecrated once again with the second coin." That is what it says here. O Israel, hope in Hashem, for with Hashem there is loving kindness, and He will be reconciled. Even though we have been driven out from before Hashem in a time of anger, and it came true about us, I had sent her away and given her a bill of divorce, pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. Nevertheless, O Israel, hope in Hashem, for with Hashem there is loving kindness, for He has consecrated us with loving kindness and mercy. Therefore, with Him is abundant redemption in loving kindness and mercy. The letters of the word Yachel, Yud Ches Lamed, are the first letters of Yismamo Hako Lo. If He delays, wait for Him. Accordingly, the Torah says, O Israel, hope in Hashem, for with Hashem there is loving kindness. Even if the generation should be entirely guilty, He will redeem it. For Hashem will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We will continue Mirchashem in our next year.